The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Okay, reach down and get your Bible. Here it goes. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. So reach down, get your Bible, and look in that Bible. Look at that verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. And, you know, in the Bible gives us so many truths. Now, I want to remind you, please, that this is the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is talking to young Timothy. And as the Apostle Paul is talking to young Timothy, what we do understand is it's the older man talking to the younger man. And as the older man is talking to the younger man, we see that he is called an apostle. Now, who is an apostle? May I say that we have no more apostles today. There is no more apostles today. Somebody said, well, preacher, I believe that we have apostles today. That is not true. We have no apostles today. An apostle is somebody that witnessed the resurrected Lord, okay? And we have nobody that is walking around today that has witnessed the resurrected Lord. Not one so ever. And so when you hear about these churches that say, here's a pastor and this is apostle so-and-so, they do not know their Bible. Now, I'm going to get emails on that one. But they do not know their Bible because they are not apostles, okay? And so when you drive by a church one day and you see out there on the marquee where it says apostle so-and-so, you can laugh a little bit knowing that they don't know what they're talking about. And you can laugh and believe that you know what you're talking about. It always makes you feel good inside, doesn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, according to the gracious gospel. Now listen what it says, or glorious gospel, gracious gospel. According to the glory, it is gracious, by the way, is it not? According to the glorious gospel, it says, of the blessed God. Now watch this. It says, which was committed to my trust. Isn't that good that God commits the gospel? Oh, yes, it is glorious. Yes, it is gracious, but isn't it good that he commits the gospel to my trust? I mean, the God of heaven, the creator God says, hey, Mike, I'm going to trust you with something. Mike, here's what I'm going to trust you with. I'm going to trust you with a glorious thing that's called the gospel. Now, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for these dear people. I love them so much. And Father, I miss them when sometimes I have to travel out of town to preach somewhere. But tonight we have our time together. And Lord, bless our gathering in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will. You know, there was two deacons and a preacher that went out hunting one day, and they had their guide, and it was deer season. And so they thought, I'm going to go kill a deer. And so they took their guns and they went out hunting. Well, sure enough, here comes this big old buck. And this big old buck just standing right in front of them, just saying, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. And so all three of them took their guns, the two deacons and the preacher. They aimed their guns, and all of them pulled the trigger. And now they begin to look at each other and say, well, I killed that deer. Oh, but the other deacon said, no, I killed that deer. No, the preacher said, I killed that deer. All of a sudden, the park ranger shows up, says, what in the world is the commotion over here? And they said, well, each one of us shot, and each one of us believed that we killed the deer. And so he says, well, I can tell who killed the deer. And so he went over and he'd examined the deer. After examining the deer, he said, well, I can tell the preacher killed the deer. They said, come on, you're just saying that because he's the preacher. How do you believe that the preacher killed the deer? He said, because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. Wow, I said something and you laughed. That was good. One day there was a farmer. His name was Farmer Brown. He had a huge farm. Boy, took good care of his animals, and he loved his animals. He really did. And so one day the chicken said to the pig, said, you know, Farmer Brown has taken such good care of us, and we ought to treat him to breakfast. The chicken said to the pig, I think we ought to give him sausage and eggs. At which time the pig spoke up and said back to the chicken, well, for you, that's an offering. But to me, that's a total sacrifice. Now, by the way, isn't that the way that we view a vision night? For some people, to get involved, oh, that's just an offering. But for other people, it's a total sacrifice. Back in the year of 1883, there was a salesman that went out, and he decided he was going to sell some life insurance policies. He had a client that he met, and the client said, I'd like to buy a $50,000 policy. Now, back in those days, in 1883, that was a substantial amount of life insurance. And so the salesman got so excited, he pulled out his pen, and he said, okay. He said, as he pulled out his fountain pen, he said, go ahead and sign right here. And his fountain pen failed to write. At that time, the man that was trying to get the $50,000 policy looked at him and said, forget it, I've changed my mind. The man went home crushed. As he told his wife, he said, I just lost a policy because this fountain pen would not write. So he threw the fountain pen aside, very discouraged, and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a pen that will write always. And so Mr. Lewis Waterman sat down and developed his very own pen. By the way, one of the most expensive pens that you can buy today is a Waterman pen. And he developed it because as a traveling insurance salesman that sold life insurance policies, he had a pen that would not write. He didn't get discouraged over it. He just made his own pen. Now, can I tell you that when we look at 2017, you ought not be discouraged going into this year that we're already in, but you ought to be encouraged. You ought to look at it and say, well, if there's not a way, I'm going to make a way. You ought to look at it and say, if there's not something that I can do, I'll figure out a way to do something else in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at how many ministries that we have here. You know, there's a place for everybody. You know, maybe you're somebody and you say, well, preacher, you know, I'm not able to attend all the services because I'm somebody that travels, and we have several businessmen that's in our church that owns their own companies, and you do a great job, and you have many, many, many people that work for you, and we have several businessmen in our church that are of the same way. And can I tell you, no matter who you are tonight, there's a way for you to serve Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, we have people that work in the hospitals, and you're on call all the time, and many times you'll get called. We have several that work at Baylor Hospital as nurses and assistants and stuff like that, and many times you'll be on call. We have different ones. Had one of our deacons that called me tonight, and he's here, and thank the Lord for that. But he was on call because he's over several apartments and got called out to be able to have to go to some of those apartments and be able to work on some electrical things that was going wrong. And can I tell you, we have all sorts of different people that is in our church. We have people that manage apartments. We have people that teach at Baylor University. We have all sorts of different people that are in our church. Now, can I tell you, no matter what you do, whether it is from working on a roof, under a roof, whether it is working with a pen, whether it is working in an office, whether it is working out on the street, if you will, and being a construction worker, and we have several that's in here that do that. We have people in here that own their own computer stores, and you do a great job on that, and so many different variations of people. People that's in the military, and people that serve in various areas of serving in law enforcement in so many different places. But can I tell you, God has a place for you in serving Him also in the local church. I think sometimes we think that only the man of God, the preacher that you have by the name of Mike Wells, should be the one that serves God and those that work on staff that are paid staff. No. God has a place for you. It might be a place of encouraging someone. It might be a place of helping someone. It might be a place, if you would please, of standing beside somebody that has a low degree of confidence in themselves or in the Lord. It might be you being that one, if you will, that participates in a music program such as an orchestra or singing in a choir or going down to one of the nursing homes and participating and helping those that are not loved. It might be going, if you will, with America for Christ and going out soul winning on a late Sunday afternoon to be able to go down to places where most people do not even want to go to be able to share the gospel. Might be working on a bus route in some capacity, not necessarily being a bus captain, not necessarily being a bus worker. You know, our bus captains pay for all their own promotions. You know, they do that because they have a burden for their kids, but that's what they do. Might be good for some of the church members to rise up and say, I'm going to adopt your bus for this year. This year, I'm going to adopt your bus, and I'm going to be the one that's going to help you. If you want hot dogs, here I am. If you want candy, here I am. If you want something that you need on your bus, I want to invest in your kids through you to be a blessing. You know, that's a way to be involved in a bus route. It might be when missionaries come through, you look at them and you find out how they are. I know years ago when I was a pastor in Tennessee, when missionaries would come through, two things I would look for on the men. I would look at their collars to see how worn they were, and I would look at their shirt sleeves, the end of them, to see how worn they were and mired. And then I would lead the people of our church back in Tennessee to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to purchase some brand new shirts. We're going to purchase some brand new ties this week. And we're going to be a blessing so that these men, when they go out and they represent the Lord, they're going to do it the way that they should do it. And, of course, being well taken care of. Now, can I say there's ways for us to be able to supply? How is it that we can supply? Let me give you some things real quick. Statement number one, keep on praying. God will show you what to do. God will show you. You know, we owe a debt that's called the tithe. We pay our debt that's called the tithe. But when we give above the tithe, an offering is the seed that we sow. So decide, you know, we know this, that the tithe is baby giving. That's nursery giving. We give 10% of all that comes our way. That's being a Christian. Is this an honest Christian? Okay? That's not stealing from God. But yet at the very same thing, we also ought to give an offering above the tithe. All right? So pray. That's where God has to lead you individually. What would God lead you to do? To be an extra blessing to your church, to be an extra blessing to your people that's around you, to be an extra blessing so that the gospel could be propelled around the ends of the world. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 4, here he is, Nehemiah, and the Bible says, hear, O our God. He says, for we are despised. He says, they've turned the reproach, it says, upon their own head. And it says, and give them, it says, for a prey, the land of captivity. So here's what he's doing. He's turning to God. In a time when it seems like that everything is going wrong, he's turning to God and he's saying, hear, O our God. So what do? You decide that you're going to pray. Pray. Pray in 2017. How is it that God could hear your prayer? What is it that God could do through you? How is it that God could use you? You know, please understand this, that as a church member of Parkside Baptist Church, you are unique. And God has something that God could use you to do. You know, you might not feel led of God to work in a bus route. That's okay. You might not feel led of God to sing in the choir. That's okay. You might not feel led of God to be a Sunday school teacher. That's okay. Now, some of you feel led of God to do those things and or many other things. But can I tell you, God's got something for you to do. And by the way, when you start to get involved and you start to allow yourself to get involved, the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So wherever you're investing, that's going to draw your heart. Because you have a vested interest. So if you're investing, I know last year, I don't know how many kids that was in her Christian school I bought shoes for. But last year, I watched some of her kids walking down the hallways in the Christian school, and I noticed that some of the kids had worn their shoes out so much that that their shoes were just, you know, you could just tell they just needed shoes. And that's not saying that the parents wasn't caring for them. What that is saying is there was other needs that perhaps needed to be met, and maybe there were some dental needs, or maybe there were some health needs, or something like that. And so, but it was a delight to be able to step up and to be able to give a surprise and to be able to walk away. Now, can I tell you, listen, sometimes God will use you. God will use you to be a blessing to someone. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. I don't have anything to give like that. Then you pray, because God might just use you to encourage someone. Can I tell you, when you show up, and I'm just being honest as Mike Wells. Can I do that? When you show up for preaching, it helps me. You know, I'm human just like you are. I have thoughts that go through my head just like you have that go through your head. So on Sunday nights, give you an example, or Wednesday nights, or yay, even Sunday morning, the first thing I do when I walk outside this door is I walk out and I start checking the crowd out who's here. Amen. and who's not. Now, that's a normal thing, because if you really love somebody and you really care about somebody, you love to see them. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but you've got a pastor that loves you. You've got a pastor that cares about you. So when you're not in your place like you should be in your place, when I walk out, my heart sinks. Now, by the way, don't say, well, I tell you what, I don't want you to have a sinking heart, so I'll just move my membership someplace else. Well, then you'll make that guy's heart sink. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying if you have somebody that loves you, come on, it's like preparing a meal. Stay with me. Think about the preacher for a moment. It's like preparing a meal and inviting you as the guest over, and you don't show up. And you prepare the meal. The preacher had different groups, if you will, please, if you will, that the Holy Spirit said. And the preacher might not even know what the Holy Spirit is doing, because he preaches the Word of God generally, and it's the Holy Ghost of God that makes it personal. So as I'm preparing something, I have no idea what's going on in your life. I have no idea. But I pray. And I just keep praying. And as I keep praying, the Holy Spirit says, okay, I want you to go this way. I have no idea why he wants me to go that way, but he knows that you need it. He knows that you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be. And you being where you're supposed to be, can I tell you, God zeroes in on you. You say, why does he do that? Because he loves you. Because he cares about you. Statement number one, you keep praying. Statement number two, keep working. Keep working. I learned many years ago, my daddy get us up early in the morning as he'd leave for Baltimore City, Maryland, where he worked at Maryland National Bank, and he'd wake us up and we'd have to be at the breakfast table. Most of the time it was at 4:45 in the morning. And he would tell us the instructions that he wanted us to do. Now, we were good boys, you know, and so after daddy told us the instructions he wanted us to do, we went back to bed as soon as daddy left. And but we showed up at 4:45 in the morning, and we heard the instructions, and then we was able to know what daddy wanted us to do. And then we went back to bed until it was time to go to school. And then we came back home afterwards and we did our chores. Okay, but keep working. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together onto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. A mind to work. Now, let me help you. I'm speaking to you tonight as your pastor. Now, listen to me. You know, many times we'll have conferences. Many times we'll have things that we do. And we work together. I cannot begin to tell you how many hours I spend just working and trying to fix up things and help to fix up things so that it will be presentable to you. Okay, I cannot begin to tell you how many times our staff will work overtime so that it will be presentable to you. I can't begin to tell you how labor's hours we put in. And we'll, matter of fact, I told our staff just Tuesday, I said, look, in order to get more people in, we got to put more time on the street. We got to, and normally we'll have a staff meeting at 2 o'clock and it goes to 5 o'clock. And I said, by the good grace of God, we'll still meet at 2, but we're going to end it at 3:30. And then we're going to go out, all of us that are pastoral staff, and all we're going to do is hit the streets. We're going to get back to street work. And just go out door knocking and go after people and do follow-ups, and we're going to do it as a team. And now we already go out several hours and several days already. Each one of the staff men do, but we need to put more hours in. Now, wait a minute. Why am I saying that? Because there's a work to do. There's a work to do. We can't just be office people, but we have to be people that's going to get out amongst the people and do more work to help the people. So keep praying. How do we do it? We simply just keep working. I'm talking about pressing on in our commitment. How do we do that? How do we press on in our commitment? We keep praying. We keep working. We keep encouraging. Almost done. We keep encouraging. Keep encouraging. Listen to it. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, says, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brother and for your sons and for your daughters and for your wives and for your houses. So Nehemiah is instructing those that are nobles, and he's instructing those. Now, notice now what happens. First, he's praying. He is working he himself, but now he's coming to those that are nobles, and he's coming to those that are rulers. He's coming to those that are leaders in his midst, and he's saying, okay, but here's a time when we can all pull together. We can all pull together. You know, there's something about, listen, you know, all of our children, and we, of course, have the three boys and precious girl, and all of our children are different. Now, we knew that from birth. None of them looked the same. And they all had a different crying pitch when they would cry. And later on, they became peculiar in their eating habits. And some of them like to eat this, while others do not like to eat that. And so we raised four children, and they're all distinctively different. All of them are distinctively different. Some of them have aggressive personalities, and some of them do not. Some of them do this, and others do not, and I'll not get into all, but they're all distinctively different. Now, can I tell you, that's the way it is in church. You can't expect everybody to be like you. You cannot expect everybody to fit in your mold. Well, if they don't fit my mold, I'm going to give up on them. You're going to wind up being a lonely person. You know, give people grace. And as you give them grace, give them space. You know, thank God that God created everybody different. Sure be a boring world if everybody looked like you and me. Amen. I mean, come on. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that understand tonight that here he was. He went to the nobles. He went to the rulers. He went to the rest of the people. And he said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. He said, don't be afraid of them. What was he doing? He was keeping on encouraging. So keep encouraging. Keep encouraging people. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can serve God. Yes, you can step out. Yes, God will use you. Yes, God will answer your prayer. Yes, God can come through for you. Yes, God's got a will for your life, and you're supposed to step up and take that by the horns and hold on and do the will of God. That's what we're supposed to do. All right? So keep praying. Keep on praying. Keep on working. Keep on encouraging. Statement number next. I'm almost done. Here it is. And that is this. Keep on leading. Keep on leading. Lead people. Help people to make right choices. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, from that time forth, that half of the servants wrought, it says, in the work. Now, and then it goes on, it says that half of the servants, they took up weapons. So half of them were working while the other ones were bearing arms. Now, by the way, both of them had their reward. Both of them had their reward. You can't be somebody else, but you can be the very best you that God created. Amen. Both of them had their reward. Then lastly, and I'll give you this, keep on watching. Keep on watching. Now, I'm saying, how is it that you and I can be individuals that presses on? How can we press on in our commitment? We press on in our commitment by keep on praying. We press on in our commitment by keep on working. We press on in our commitment by keep on encouraging. We press on in our commitment by keep on leading. We press on in our commitment by keep on watching. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, be alert. I mean, be sure that you stay on track. Listen to it. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 22. The Bible says, likewise, it says, the same time said I unto the people, says, let everyone with his own servant lodge within Jerusalem. It says that in the night, watch what it says, they may be a guard unto us and labor on the day. He said, so in the night, somebody needs to watch. So stand watch, if you will. Stand watch, first off, for yourself. Make sure that you do not get backslidden in 2017. How, preacher, do you know if you're backslidden? Because you have less of a desire for spiritual things. If you have less of a desire for spiritual things, you're drifting. So decide you're not going to drift. By the way, spiritual growth is always done on purpose. Yes. Just like anything else is done on purpose. Amen. I said this. I said, get yourself a Bible reading schedule. They're back there right now still. Some back there if you want one. On that back counter, get yourself a Bible reading schedule. And in 2017, now we've already passed them out in three services, but in 2017, get yourself a Bible reading schedule and stay with it. And by the way, if you've already failed in staying with it, it's easy to catch up because you're in the beginning of the year. You read everything else under heaven, why not read your Bible? By the way, watch this. If he is the creator God that made all that is and ever will be, if he is the route to blessing, then why don't you spend time getting to know him so that you can get the wisdom of God to make the right godly decisions for you and your family and those that you influence? So I'm saying, keep on watching. The Bible says here that what they did is they lodged in Jerusalem, but there was some that stayed up. And what did they do? They watched. You ever do that? You ever do that? Does your wife ever go to bed early and you go in and you just stare at her and you watch her? You ever do that? Y'all do it sometimes, fun. Does your husband ever go to bed at night early and you just go in and you watch him, just stare. And by the way, sometimes when you stare at somebody, I don't know what goes on inside their head, but you can see they get uncomfortable. You ever see that? They start. Right? You haven't even touched them, you know, and all of a sudden they start. I guess they can feel the bullets coming out or something. I don't know. You ever do that with your children? You ever go and just stare at your kids at night? And boy, they're just laying there all peaceful and restful. And you go in, and all of a sudden, you feel yourself just saying, God, thank you for this one. Thank you that you've allowed me to be their dad. Thank you you've allowed me, maybe you'll pray this as a mom, thank you that you've allowed me to be their mother. What a wonderful opportunity it is to influence them for Christ. Thank you so very, very much. And what a blessing that is, that God has allowed you to be a steward over a child that you could influence for the glory of God. And what a blessing that is. You know, now I'm saying this. I'm saying, so be watchful. Be watchful. Be watchful who your kids hang around. Not all the young people at Parkside Baptist Church are spiritual. Be watchful. Be watchful. Be watchful who they, be watchful as they do hang around spiritual kids, that's good. Because whoever they want to be like is who they're going to be attracted to. So if they want to be like, they want to get close to somebody, it's probably because they like something in their life. So watch who your kids migrate towards. Because they reveal their hearts of who they want to be like. Or it might be they have a burden for someone. And so they want to get close to somebody because they have such a burden for them that they want to help them. So they want to get close. All right, talk with them. See, that's why it's so important, and I'm done, but that's why it's so important to spend time with your children. Philosophize with your children. Ask them what they believe. Don't ask them what they believe. Don't give them the answers. Find out what they believe and why. Ask them, well, where'd you learn that in the Bible? See, the Bible is not just our resource book. It's our guide. This is the way to please the creator of the universe. So find out what they believe and why and talk with them. Right now, build philosophy with them of making sound decisions based on Bible principle. See, that's a good thing about coming to church. You learn Bible principle whereby you can now govern your life to go the right direction according to the scriptures. Now, I'm saying this tonight. You can have a successful year as you press on in your commitments for Christ if you simply put these things in your life and stay with it in 2017. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for church. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come, be able to gather around the Bible. Thank you for a good vision night, to be able to see some of the things that you've allowed us to do. We're thankful for that. To be able to lay down some goals that we could participate in And we're thankful for that. Now, Father, we commit ourselves to you the best way we know how. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us a great year in 2017 in every single way. And Lord, we'll be very quick to give you the honor and the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me tonight because I do not know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to know that. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me. Here is my hand. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, that's me tonight. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Here is my hand. Would you raise your hand tonight? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Many, many there that are young people. God bless you. Preacher, tonight God showed me some things that I would like to participate in. I would like to have a hand in. I would like to be able to be used of God to do in so that I can be a blessing to God. Now, what about you tonight? Say, preacher, God has showed some things in my life that I could do. Maybe get involved more. Maybe be a participant in one of those areas that was mentioned more than what you are, or the new areas that have been mentioned. Preacher, I'd like to be involved in something I saw tonight. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. Would you raise your hand, please? I'd like to participate in something I saw tonight, and God bless you. May we stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.